Recording sound. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 17th of February, we have Jeff Newman, Tatiana Kramtsova, James Blable, Marilyn Cade, Paul Diaz, Avery Doria. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies today from Alex Gokuru, David Maher, and Wolf Ulrich. Alan Greenberg has just joined the call, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you very much. It's the 17th of February, and we are making really good progress on getting this report out by the deadline, which is February 21st, which is this coming Monday. Just to kind of go over some logistics, we'll go over some logistics first and then dive right into some of the comments to the report. If we can get everything finalized, the goal is to have all the substantive issues aired out on this call today. Then I want to find out from people who's going to be planning on submitting additional comments by tomorrow. All comments, including drafting comments, need to be in by then, so Marika has over the weekend to incorporate those and get the document out on Monday. And then once we do that, I think we'll be good to actually not have a call next week and then just resume a Thursday call on March 3rd at because of a policy webinar call that same day, March 3rd, we'll only make our call for an hour and start it one half hour later. So if someone, what is that, UTC time? Does anyone know what that is off the top of their head?
1500 UTC.
1500.
Great. So we'll start at 1500 UTC time on March 3rd. That will be the next call and the last call before the San Francisco meeting. Just to remind you all that in San Francisco, we have a session during the weekend prior to the meeting, which is at Saturday. Actually, Marika, what's are we scheduled for Saturday or Sunday at this point?
As far as I remember, I think Saturday at the end of the day, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so we're on the schedule for Saturday. We're presenting to the GNSO Council the final report. We're also going to have a session during the weekend, I believe on Sunday, to talk about, and I may be mixing these two up. The schedule will come out on this coming Monday as well, but we'll have a short scheduled time to meet to talk about our presentation for the workshop, which will be held on Wednesday, tentatively scheduled at this point from noon until 1:30 San Francisco time. I'm told that there may be food for us there, but we're still trying to work out those details. And, of course, like all ICANN schedules, they're subject to change. Another logistics item, when we put this out for public comment, the plan is to put it out starting on the 21st and then ending on March 31st, which is obviously the last day of March and a few weeks after the meeting ends. So it's going to be kind of tight, even though it's a six-week period for comments. By the time everyone goes to San Francisco, comes back, it's not a very long period of time after that. And then we have the month of April to assimilate those comments, to revise the report if necessary, to submit to the PPSC at the beginning of May. If there's any questions on the schedule? Okay, so just again, reminder, no call next week. We'll have the next call on the 3rd of March. Diving in, yes.
Can that all be printed out and sent out on the list?
Yes, we can do that. Okay, so jumping right in, there were some comments. Oh, let me ask the question before. Does anyone plan on submitting additional comments by tomorrow just to help Marika for planning purposes? Speaking for myself, I will be submitting some comments on the couple sections that I have not gotten to yet by tomorrow. And again, most of my comments should be just kind of clarification or grammar, sentence structure, things like that. It's not really my role to go in and change any recommendations or change the meaning of anything. I'm just trying to make it look I'm just trying to help it help us explain our rationale. Alan?
Yeah, my intent is to submit something, but I also have my my own PEDNR PDP one to work on. So whether I'll get to this, I'm not sure. Again, nothing substantive, but I plan to. I hope to do a full read through.
Okay, Aubrey.
Yeah, I don't know. I have some more reading I need to do. I am trying to complete a work project. I don't know if I'll get to it, but if I do, I may. And I find anything else to comment on, I may. But if I don't make it by tomorrow, then I'll just quit and not worry about it.
Well, not worry about it until the
public comments, right.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Anybody else planning on it? Okay. So let's jump into I'm going to start with, even though Marilyn kind of just submitted before the call, I'm going to start with Marilyn's comment because I think she only has a few minutes to be on the call with us. And actually Marilyn's comment is really related to, I think it's probably in response to Wolf's comment on recommendation 7. So we'll kind of just discuss those together, and I think it'll be fairly easy to resolve because I think Marilyn hit the nail on the head. I don't think the report, recommendation 7 basically talks about the outcomes, potential outcomes of a PDP process, and in one place it talks about a conclusion that no recommendation is necessary. And I think the intent is, as Marilyn has stated it, it wasn't that, as Marilyn says in her comment, a recommendation that no changes be made is still a recommendation. And I think that was the intent, that, yes, the group would make recommendations, but one of those recommendations could be no change to existing policy. So that being said, I think we're all on the same page. Marilyn was there, or Wolf's not here, actually. Wolf's not on the call.
Right.
But just read his comment is, why undertake the whole PDP in advance and then coming to such a conclusion? And then Marilyn offered her comments. So I think we're all on the same page. Marilyn, anything else to add?
No, I think the intent was, whatever you say, it is a recommendation. Whether it's no action, it's further study, anything, that is your recommendation.
Right.
I thought that probably clarified it. But maybe just, I think we all agree that the output of a PDP could be further study is needed in the future, no action at this time, or no action, or a range of different steps. So I thought that kind of probably captured the intent.
Right. So I think, Marika, you can...
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm just wondering if it would help if we change a conclusion that no recommendation is necessary to a recommendation that no changes are necessary. Maybe that would clarify that, you know, there would be a recommendation, but it would basically say, you know, no need to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that gets to it. I think Marilyn included another thing that I'm not sure is mentioned in the paragraph, which is, well, you say recommendations for future policy development, but I think Marilyn also said recommendation that future or that additional research
that additional research or additional study would be needed, something like that.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. So that's not necessarily the same thing as future policy development. Marika, can you add that?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Let me jump then to Avery's recommendations, and I think Avery submitted a comment, and I'll turn it over to her on recommendation 39, which is, I think, is just a semantic issue, Avery.
Exactly. Itemizing just didn't do it, and so I was recommending something like the normal parliamentary term of divide the question or whatever. But itemizing just. I assume the report will itemize the recommendations, item 1, item 2, item 3. It's voting on the item separately that's the issue, and so I'm just recommending a different phrasing for that.
Yeah, so I think I think that's right. I think we can replace itemizing. I'm kind of a little hesitant, and you guys could, James has offered a comment on the chat. I think using a parliamentary term like dividing the question is probably a little bit confusing, and I know you say we can divide it in a footnote, but I'd like to keep the body of the report as simple as possible. And so you did say at the beginning it's basically separating the recommendations. So if we took that concept, I think Marika and I were just talking before the call of just taking that kind of language. You remember, Marika, what we said? Something like basically separating into recommendations. What's the words we used before? We say it's interdependent. Yeah, so I think we're going to...
You just said separating them into separate motions. You're essentially defining, dividing the question, which I think is fine.
Yeah, I just want to just avoid parliamentary...
Yeah, I understand. I think it would be good for us to be educated in it, but I understand also the desire to avoid it. We don't want to teach people too much.
Right. It's okay for the council to have to understand what that is, but not necessarily for anyone in working groups and, others may read this type of document. Okay, so that's 39. Recommendation 45... Let me turn to it. That's sorry, I'm scrolling through too.
I had two issues in that one if you want me to start while you're looking.
Yes, please.
Okay, basically there's two issues. One is on identifying who it is in a work team that does a self-assessment. And, okay, we have it listed as, something that's still controversial, the chair liaison or the working group participants. It can't, and to my mind, it just seems impossible that it be a self-assessment without the working team itself being the one to do it. I don't understand that. And the second point is, while I understand the desire for a template for how to do this, I think that, that's a nice thing to have, but it's not necessary. And I have two concerns about making it necessary. One is, that means until we've developed such a template, we cannot do it, and that seems problematic to me. And two, that to figure out what belongs in a template, we need to figure out by doing and by experience what the right way of doing this in a GNSO PDP is. All self-assessments, while they're done by the self, are done sort of differently given the character of the group. Because you're doing this at the end of a many-month effort where the group has certain dynamics, has ways of doing things, et cetera. And those won't always be the same. So to say we're going to a priori define how you do this when there isn't... So I agree that for, longevity's purpose, we should document some guidelines at some point, but I don't think they should be made an a priori requirement. Thanks.
Okay, so let's take that one issue at a time. I think with your first part, I tend to agree that I think it's in line with what we discussed, that there should be an assessment. We probably could just get rid of the part that says, nor clear guidance on who should conduct the assessment. I think we should just say there should be an assessment. It's a self-assessment. You're right. It's kind of would be the working group that would do it implicitly. Or do you think we should actually state that the assessment should be done by the working group?
Me personally, I think it's redundant to say so, but in case there are any questions, which I guess there would be, it may be useful to say so. I think it goes without saying that a self-assessment is done by the self.
Yeah, I think that's right. So and if anyone disagrees, please chime up. But I think you're right. I think if we just say, however, the work team notes that there is no, we could say no existing standard or template for such an assessment, and recommends that such a template be developed after some experience? Basically, your point is after there's some experience with doing these assessments, someone should come back and, or people should come back and develop a template based on what happened prior. Right? That's your kind of your point?
Yep.
Marika, does that make sense?
Yeah, this is Marika. I've noted that. So we take out the self, or?
No, we take out the parenthetical, right? So it would say, however, the work team also notes that there's no standard or template, or that there is no existing standard or template for such an assessment, period. And then you would say something like, the PDP work team recommends that a standard or template be developed after several self-assessments have been done and those can be reviewed to determine if a template can be developed. Sorry, Aubrey, you were saying?
Yeah, if I could make a slightly different recommendation and go with, however, the work team also notes that there are no ICANN guidelines for such an assessment and recommends that these guidelines be developed so basically one of the things was changing it to in one place talk about standards or templates and another place talking about guidelines. I think guidelines is the right thing, you know,
okay.
That these guidelines be developed after the GNSO has developed some experience in doing these self-assessments.
I think that works. Yeah. Marika, you want Aubrey to repeat that?
This Marika, yes, because I'm not clear on whether your bit stays in as well.
I think Aubrey, the way Aubrey just stated it is better. So it's...
Do you try to do what I did?
No, I will let you do it.
Okay. However, the work team also notes that there are no ICANN guidelines for such an assessment and recommends that these guidelines be developed as the GNSO gains experience doing self-assessments.
As this call is being recorded, I think Aubrey just stated it really well. So thank you, Aubrey. That's good. Now, does that solve both of your 45 comments?
Yes, it does, because it's basically not making them a end-begin type of action where first guidelines are developed and then self-assessments are done. So, yeah, it deals with both of them.
Okay, good. Then let's go to your next comment, which is overarching issue 2, which is on page 31. Yeah, it starts on page 31. Do you want to go over your comment?
Sure. At the moment, we say that ICANN is strongly encouraged to use volunteers to assist with translation where appropriate and practical. At the moment, the way that one stands, I would recommend it being bracketed, though I did also offer a possible solution. And basically, I mean, I'm strongly against us preordaining that volunteers are the way to do it. I have no real objection to us saying, look into using volunteers as part of an overall program, but I think this is too important and too professional a requirement. This is not like coming up with policy where we're all professionals and we go back and forth and argue and develop and progressively get to something. This is something where someone sits down and does something that's accurate enough that the person reading it in French and the person reading it in Russian are getting the same meaning. And that, while volunteers can help with that, they can't be relied on to be professionals at doing that. So basically, I was suggesting something like ICANN is encouraged to consider whether the use of volunteers to assist with translation is appropriate and practical while it is considering the enhancements of the translation strategy, which is part of the overall strategic plan. So still say, you know, not get rid of the desire that many in this group had, though not all, that volunteers should be considered, but certainly not strongly recommend that volunteers do it. And basically, you know, sort of place our faith and requirement on the work that the staff is already doing to develop a coherent translation strategy that we will be able to comment on separately as it is developed. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey. And I put on the chat, I think this relates to the comments originally raised by James and Paul, so I'd like them to weigh in on your proposed text, as well as Alan.
I very strongly support exactly what Avery just said. Translation is an area where there are professionals around. ICANN happens to have some. We're not. So I think we need to give a recommendation that we think it's worthy of consideration, but I don't think we can go any farther than that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Paul or James? Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's Paul. I guess my perspective, I understand what Alan and Aubrey are saying, and I appreciate it, respect it. Can we add in something about, you know, ICANN making appropriate resources available or recognizing the resource implications of professional-only translations? You know, the reason I was pushing for volunteers just as a cost-saving measure because we all recognize translation's very expensive. And it just seems that if we recommend professional only, but don't caveat that or don't balance that with, but ICANN, you know, consciously think about the budget for what we're recommending and essentially find offsets, find cost savings elsewhere. Otherwise, it seems we're just going to keep growing and growing ICANN's budget because there's always important things like this that need to be done.
So Paul, Aubrey suggested language is in the last sentence, which says, ICANN is encouraged to consider whether the use of volunteers to assist with translation is appropriate and practical while it is considering the enhancements of the translation strategy, which is part of the overall strategic plan. So even though she used the words professional in kind of her rationale, I think the language doesn't really mention professional.
This is Aubrey. If I can interject as a possible answer.
Yep, sure.
ICANN is encouraged to consider whether the use of volunteers to assist with translation is appropriate and practical as a cost-cutting measure while it is considering. Wow, it's happening. While it is considering the enhancements of the translation. So, in other words, if that goes in, I mean, I still don't think that it's necessary the way it should be done, but does that cover getting your content into the recommendation?
Paul, do you want to offer a thought on that? Oh, Paul agrees. Okay, good. James and then Alan.
So, yeah, I think I mostly agree with what Paul was saying. I thought that there was another point at least having a program or a pool of volunteers identified was not only would that save costs, but that would also establish some sort of a threshold for demand for specific languages so that we wouldn't have, for example, a single person requiring ICANN to hire professional translators for a single language that was only wanted by that one person. I was thinking that, you know, by ensuring that everyone had a contribution to make to spreading this to larger linguistic communities, that would ensure that there was at least a minimum threshold of demand for documents in that language before we proceed. But I think I can live with the proposal that Avery made with Paul's edit.
Good. That's good. Okay. And then back to Alan and Avery.
Yeah, we seem to be getting closure, so I'm going to be very brief. Our mandate is to come up with a recommendations for how PDP should be done, and I think we've determined pretty well that some level of translation is necessary along the way. We're not saying all discussions have to be held in every language. We're doing something quite moderate. There is huge amount of pressure on ICANN to do something, and there's similarly huge amount of pressure on ICANN to constrain its budgets. I don't think we need to belabor the point in this particular report. We're increasing in our minds our importance if we think this is what's going to drive ICANN on translation, either to use volunteers, not use volunteers, or do more or less translation. So I think this is a tail. We're not wagging the dog. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Aubrey?
Yeah, quick comment. I don't think that the strategy and policy coming out of the staff is going to be based on a single person's whim requiring. I think that they will be looking at things like 6UN and perhaps consideration of the language of the country that we're going to have a meeting in on occasion. I don't know for sure. Certainly, as I say, we're all going to have the ability to comment on the overall policy and its expenses as time goes on. And one of the things, and I'm not suggesting it go into this recommendation, but I'll recommend it again later, you know, in the policy discussion if it's appropriate, is certainly some of the time, you know, there may be someone that sort of recommends, oh, we really need to translate this into Farsi, or we really need to translate this into Swahili or some specific language that isn't included on the staff's list. That may be one of the conditions under which it is appropriate to come up with a volunteer basis, but that also will need a policy where you can put a stamp at the top of it saying, this is not an official translation, this is because when you have a volunteer do it, you still have to hire someone to make sure it's correct, and you have to hire someone that can review it and edit it for correctness. So that's something that needs to go into the overall policy of the details of how, if it's appropriate, when it's appropriate, and in what manner of doing it, it would be appropriate. And I have spent too much time in translation policies in my other job to think we should get into that now. Thanks.
Okay. Well, going back, I think it sounds like everyone is agreeing on this text, and we certainly have other places that talk about how important it is, and so I think we're there. Moving on to my comments, let me just clear up one on recommendation 29. It was basically a sentence structure that I didn't I thought said something different than it actually was meant to say. So it's not that I was saying that people should never review or take into consideration public comments received. The sentence had implied that it was staff that was doing the reviewing and taking into consideration the public comment, which is not the intent. So what I think should happen is on that recommendation, it should be a separate sentence clarifying that it's the working group that's responsible for reviewing and taking into consideration the public comments received. And then I think that solves the whole issue. Again, that's recommendation 29. And so I think with that, unless anyone wants to discuss it, I think that was the intent, and it was just my misreading of the sentence structure. Recommendation 24, I want to go back to because I want to make sure everyone's on the same page. I added additional language, which I think makes it in line with what we agreed to, but I just want to double-check and make sure everyone was fine with that, because this was the recommendation that basically says, the PDP work team recommends that even though a working group currently forms the basic mode of operation for a PDP, there should be flexibility to accommodate different working methods if deemed appropriate by the GNSO Council, or allow for a different mode of operation if so desired by the GNSO Council in the future without requiring a complete overhaul of the bylaws or GNSO operating rules, And then I added, provided that whatever mode of operation is used contains each of the elements set forth in the ICANN bylaws and PDP manual. So that clarifies that we might not use a working group structure, but we still have to, even if it's not a working group structure that's followed, you still need to follow all the other elements in the bylaws and the manual. So that still means public comment periods. It means all the stuff that we've been talking about for the last couple of years. So I want to clarify whether that's what we agreed to. And let me go, Marika. Sorry, let me go to you first.
Yeah, this is Marika. In relation to this recommendation, we discussed it as part of the outstanding issues, and that point, it was pointed out as well, there is some language in the procedure manual that talks about the same issue. So I think at that point, we basically suggested that everyone should have a look at what is in the procedure manual to make sure that that tracks, indeed, the discussion. With the changes that you've proposed, we might need to make it more specific in the procedure manual, because what it basically says now, and that's on page, 51, it says now the preferred model for the PDP team is the working group model due to the availability of specific working group rules and procedures that are included in the GNSO operating rules and procedures. The GNSO Council should not select another model for conducting PDPs unless the GNSO Council first identifies the specific rules and procedures to guide the PDP team's deliberations. So we don't here say specifically that, you know, they should also follow all the elements that are in the bylaws and the manual. So if there's agreement to the changes that you've suggested, I guess that should be made more specific then as well in the manual.
Okay, I mean, from my personal opinion, I think it should be made more specific, but let me go to make sure everyone agrees with the concept first, and then Alan?
Yeah, a couple of small points. The PDP procedures manual is not under our control, so we cannot change that at this point. I would suggest two changes to what you have here. Number one, I would say, and I don't have the exact wording, there should be flexibility to accommodate different working methods as described in the procedures manual, if deemed appropriate by the GNSO Council. So I think we should make a reference that the procedure manual already allows for this under certain conditions, but it already allows for it. We're not introducing a new concept here, which was part of the gist of our discussion last time of people who were objecting to this.
What do you mean? So now I'm a little confused. There's nothing in the manual that describes other methods of operation.
No, it allows for other methods under a set of circumstances. That is, we have rules.
So you would say, again, if deemed appropriate by the council or allow for different methods of operation as described in the PDP manual?
No.
It's not really the point I had was described, because different methods are not described. The allowance.
I'm not sure, looking at it right now, where the phrase fits in accordance with the GNSO procedures manual or something to that effect. My second comment was going to be the sentence is getting far too long and complex and needs to be broken up.
Okay.
I think I've just I've just proven that by not quite knowing where this phrase goes. All I think is for someone reading this, I don't want them to think that we are inventing the concept that maybe something other than a working group may be appropriate sometime in the future. I mean, the simple example is we could say the new thing we use is identical to working groups, except there is balanced representation, or except something like that. So all the other rules are already there and will be honored, but it's not quite the working group as defined today.
Right. So let's cure the sentence structure here. So, Mark, if we ended that first sentence at "if deemed appropriate by the GNSO Council," period, it would say there should be flexibility to accommodate different working methods if deemed appropriate by the GNSO Council. Period. Um, there should be four. Oh, you could say, if deemed appropriate by GSO Council, then delete all the words up until without. So you'd say, if deemed appropriate by the GSO Council, without requiring a complete overhaul of the bylaws or GSO operating rules.
Okay.
That's where you end the sentence. Then you would say, I'll try to get Alan's comment of that it's not a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have the phrase different working group methods and then different mode of operation. And I'm not quite sure those are very different.
Well, I've taken those out. So now it would just say, so what I said is, starting at the beginning, the PDP work team recommends that even though a working group currently forms the basic mode of operation for a PDP, there should be flexibility to accommodate different working methods if deemed appropriate by the GSO Council without requiring a complete overhaul of the bylaws or GSO operating rules. Period.
Let me propose something else. What you said up to appropriate by the GSO Council, in accordance with the GSO Operating Procedures Manual, period, any such changes and any such new working methods I've lost my train.
I could see, we don't even need without a complete overhaul. You could just say any such new working methods and then go to the last sentence must contain each of the elements set forth in the ICANN bylaws.
That's what I was trying to get at, yes.
So, Marika, do you want me to repeat that? So you'd end
No,
sentence?
I think I have it.
Okay, good.
Okay, that says, you know, reminds people we're not inventing something new because not everyone has memorized the operations manual or not every sentence in it. And it covers your and it addresses your point that says you can't get around the rigor that we're looking for by changing from the working group to something else. That's good.
Right. Okay. Then let's see. So that takes care of my comments. Then we go to Wolf's comments.
Oh, this is Marika. Just one question. And when you look at the manual, if you can see indeed if that language is specific enough or whether anything else needs to be added based on our rewording of this recommendation, that would be helpful.
Well, I think the one thing that you didn't say when you were reading that section was the last part of it, which is that it needs to contain all of the other elements.
Okay.
Is it possible to see the rewording? I got lost.
Marika, is there, I don't know if you've been handwriting it or...
Like you did when you changed mine live.
I can type it here in the notes, so if you give me a second.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll pause for a little break.
I think that's it.
Yep.
Apart from the spelling mistakes.
Aubrey, do you have any that help?
Let me get to it. Is it moving on me? Yeah, okay, thanks.
Okay, good. Jumping to Wolf's comments, the first one is be consistent calling it a proposed final report. There's still some draft. Yeah, okay. That's you'll go through that, Marika, and make sure it's whatever we use is consistent.
Yes.
Is it practical to the potential reader to look for the initial report? For further context, isn't it more useful like attaching the context? The issue here for the initial report was how many pages? 150 pages or some absurd, obscene amount. So I didn't want to attach it as an annex. I mean, we could provide a link. You know, there's a link to it, but to that was the reason why I didn't. Why I included language to say review that report, but didn't suggest it be included as an annex. Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika. To make that easier, you know, we can include a link or a hyperlink so people can go directly there. But I agree with you. I think we're now already on 124 pages. I mean, another thing I can do is when we post the announcement and open the public comment forum, that we also there include a separate link to the initial report so people can go back and check what was in there originally and, you know, compare that to what we've produced now so that it's all at hand.
Jeff just said he got dropped and is dialing back in.
No. Okay. So would people agree with that, or do people feel strongly that the whole I think it's a specific chapter in the initial report, but still that was quite a lengthy chapter that, you know, describes our discussions on the different items. Do people feel strongly that that should be included in this report, or are people comfortable with including it as a link? Avery?
Yeah. I'm certainly comfortable with including it as a link. However, an alternate suggestion, and that would also help make perhaps the initial report shorter, and it's something I've done in other groups, and I know I've suggested it here before, I'll just put it on the table again, is to move all of the explanatory or old stuff or whatever and attendance sheets and all that good stuff to a companion document so that this one can be kept shorter than 100 if that were possible, but that there was also a new companion document that just had, you know, addendum after addendum after addendum of all the cruft that people might want to historically be able to review in one place what this was about. The problem with including by reference is every couple years the website will get reorganized, and including by URL reference could easily become a dangling reference within a short time. And so that's one of the reasons why people often recommend, no, we got to have the substance in its inclusion by, not by reference, but by inclusion. But if you want to do that, then I always think the companion document that has everything, and it's just appended, it's work to format it, but it's not a writing exercise, is a useful thing. And then you have two documents, the point and the cruft, that, you know, is available for as long as anything is available. Thanks.
Okay, I'm back on, and I missed part of it. So, Marika, if you can just help summarize where we are.
So this is Marika. So I suggested including a link instead of the whole document and making it also available in the announcement and the public comment forum so people have easy access to it. Avery then suggested possibly creating a compendium where all kinds of background documents will be all linked together so people can find that all in one place and, you know, as a separate download. If I can make, you know, another suggestion on that, because my proposal would be, as indeed our report here is already very lengthy and includes as well a lot of annexes, and I think it's something we've discussed before as well, what I would like to do as part of the publication of the report to make the executive summary and the content of the report and the annexes all available as separate downloads so that people can clearly see what they are downloading and can choose, for example, just to download the executive summary or only download the executive summary and know, the content of the report, but not the annexes or only the annexes, and as well, of course, have a complete download where everything is in there. So that might, you know, accommodate, you know, people having that available. And I think in that same strand, we'll have the initial report there as well for people to download.
Yeah, I think that does make sense. It seems like Aubrey agrees as well. So that's good. I'm sure on Monday when they're posting all the documents, they're going to be...
Yeah, they will be delighted. I mean, I've already warned them because I actually have three reports that are coming out on Monday, and then the proposal would be to do for all those reports the same approach because it's an issue we've heard before where people, you know, don't really want to download all the annexes and only want to have the executive summary, but it means they have to go and cut and paste themselves. So I'll try to do my best to do that for the different reports that will come out on Monday.
Okay. So the next comment is on page 6, line 7. I'm not sure it's still page 6, though, in this version, or line 7 on this, in this report.
And I think I think it's probably relating to your version, because I think he responded to the email that had your attachment. So I'm assuming that he actually looked at, but I'm not sure which one of the two documents. I'm guessing the recommendations, but it's a guess.
Yeah, so let's see if we can find that at some point. I think it's just a wording issue, and it's words I added that I'm not wedded to. So if you want to go through it and see if what he says makes sense and just want to make some changes based on that, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'll try to find it.
Okay. Recommendation 7 we talked about. Recommendation 10... I don't think the word properly is necessary. So let's see, recommendation 10. What page is that on? Okay, recommendation 10 is on page 12. Okay, within 45 days after receipt of either an instruction from the board to a properly supported motion from the council, or 3, a properly supported motion from an advisory committee. It says the word properly. A properly supported motion. I mean, I think I see what he's saying. I mean, we think it takes out anything from removing the words properly supported? Or, Alan?
I support it because I don't know what a properly supported motion is.
Well, it's got to be one.
I've seen that before and I haven't commented, but I'm not quite sure what it means.
Well, because if you just say a motion, it's got to be an approved motion, right? It's not just a motion.
What's an approved
right?
motion?
Well, right. So it's not just someone makes a motion, it's that it's an approved, it's passed, it's a resolution that had someone who introduced it, someone who seconded it, and it passed by whatever threshold is required to pass it. So I think that's kind of what the intended meaning is. I mean, you could say from a resolution by the GNSO Council.
I'm trying to find the actual context here. One second.
Okay, it's page 12, recommendation 10.
Yeah, no, I found it. I'm just trying to see where is the wording.
At the beginning of the red, first...
45 days of...
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we may know what the properly supported procedure is for the GNSO. We don't necessarily know what it is for an advisory committee. The advisory committee has its own rules. I would take out properly supported and put informal.
So you would say formal... Motion?
Formal request, how about?
Well, it's not a request. It's actually one, it's a resolution. It's something that passes.
Right. So if I can interject since you're talking about this issue.
Yes, please.
Right, and I mean, Alan's right. Each of the advisory committees may have a different way of doing it. So, you know, it's a consensus from a consensus request from the GAC. It's a ALAC, you know, proper ALAC motion. It's a whatever. So that's why just a formal request. If they make the request formally based upon whatever process they use, which is really not for us to define, that should be the starting. So that's why I think formal is a good word, and perhaps it is a request that they're making, because the council does not have to actually, you know, do anything. But
yeah. Okay, so what if we say...
Margie has her hand up. Maybe she has some wisdom for us.
This is Margie. I have a suggestion. You could say a duly approved request to pick up on Aubrey's notion that it's not just a motion, but then also to make sure that it was they followed whatever procedures they needed to within their organization.
Well, I think we could say different things for each one. So it's an instruction from the board, an approved or something like a resolution from the GNSO Council.
Well, it's got to be a duly approved one, though, right? So it's got to be by the requisite vote.
I'm not sure how we use the terms. Motion is something when it's being discussed. I think the outcome of an approved motion is a resolution.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So we'd say for two is a resolution from the GNSO Council, or three, what were the words used, Margie? A duly
approved request. So that would pick up different formats from different organizations.
Yeah, duly approved is better than formal, yeah.
Okay. So we have instruction from the board, resolution from the GNSO Council, or a duly approved request from an advisory committee. From an advisory committee, right. Okay.
Gee, we're getting good at this.
That's because we got
Marcia
to give us the right words.
All right. We're making good progress here. Okay, last one. Recommendation 19, last sentence. Is it clear enough that the first two adopted refers to, refers to the charter itself, whereby the second is referring to the modifications only? So let's probably help to look at that resolution. Yeah, and I don't think it's page 19. I think you have to go to, I'm sorry, it's recommendation 19. Yes. That's on page 15. That recommendation says the PDP work team recommends updating clause 7 of Annex A of the ICANN bylaws to reflect that a charter is required for all working groups and to specify the voting threshold that should apply to the adoption of the working group charter, is identical to the one that applies to the initiation of the PDP. Any modifications to a working group charter after adopted by the GNSO Council, however, may be adopted by a majority vote of the GNSO Council, as that term is currently defined in the bylaws. Aubrey.
Yeah, I think the problem is parsing it in reading. And I think perhaps if you made, you know, added the word made between charter and after in that sentence, any modifications working with charter made after adoption, you know, by the council of the charter, you know, so just to be explicit. So I think it was clear, but it was also one of the sentences that if you stare at too long, you start to grow ambiguity into it.
Okay, can you repeat that?
A couple extra words.
Yeah, can you repeat those words again?
Any modification to a working group charter made after adoption by the GNSO Council of the charter.
Got it.
However, may be adopted, and then you've made it triply redundantly clear. And harder to start reading ambiguity into it.
One would always read ambiguity into everything.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how to do that.
Yes, you do. You'll have to be a lawyer to do that.
Well, that's the philosophy in me. What do you want?
Okay. How does it, Marika, you got those changes?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so let me open up the floor. Are there any other changes, any other substantive issues you think we need to discuss at this point? Again, comments are due. Aubrey, you have your hand up. Is that for something new?
Oh, no,
or?
Sorry. It's, I forgot to put it down. Apologies.
That's okay. All right. Anything else substantively? Great. So just to remind everyone, all comments are due by tomorrow. Close of business wherever you are in the world. And if there is any substantive issue, please make sure you send it in a separate email and, you know, highlight it. Call it urgent. Please read. Call it whatever you will. Just make it stand out that it's that people will read that and know it's not just, you're not just making a kind of grammatical or stylistic change. So then, again, the report will be published on Monday. Please let your stakeholder groups, constituencies, advisory committees know that they need to start preparing it and their comments, that we will have a session in San Francisco, but by the time we come back from that, there's only very little time to actually get your comments in. And lastly, a reminder, we'll submit this on email. There will be no call next week. There will be no Monday call the week after that, but we will have a Thursday call on March 3rd, which will start a half hour later than our normal start time and only go for an hour. Any other comments?
I won't make that March 3rd. I think I'll be on an airplane.
Okay. Well, really,
that doesn't matter. I'm just letting you know.
Yep. The purpose of that call is really to just kind of go over our presentation slides that we can then present to our stakeholder groups, constituencies, et cetera, at that Tuesday or Sunday sessions, whatever you all have with your different groups. And so that's the purpose of it. So it's not really too big of a deal if you miss it. But please show up. I don't mean that. If you're around, please show up. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chef.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.